in trying to understand the problems with time's man as it relates to tzitzis. Once we hit that core, we will then be able to pass naturally to a string of two other things, and they are linked into the same zman, to the same point in zman, in time, and that is not only tzitzis, but also tefillin, and we have to plug in zman kriyat shema also to it, the beginning of zman kriyat shema, so that we're only beginning. How far we'll be able to go within the context of tonight, I don't know. We may have to continue this one link. The commodity, the time that we are looking for, is called Mishayakir, when he recognizes. We touched on it in our last session, that the Zman of Tzitzis is Mishayakir, as the Gemara says, Bein Techeles, between the blue strand of Tzitzis, Lelovon, and the white strand of Tzitzis in his Tzitzis. How do we go ahead and quantify that time so that we know exactly what it is on a computerized chart or on a clock? So let's begin with Siman Yud Ches in the Orach HaShulchan, Seif Aleph, the first paragraph. Kfar Nisba'er, we've already spoken, says the Orach HaShulchan, that Delilah loves man tzitzis, that nighttime isn't the right time for tzitzis, the proper time for tzitzis. However, after having posited that, Bazeh Yesh Plukta Derab Vosa, in trying to define that concept, and that four-worded concept is Laila loves man tzitzis, Yesh Plukta, there is a machlokes de Rav Vosa among our Chazal, and there are two, so to speak, heavyweights, de la Rambam. The Rambam is the first of the two. According to the Rambam, Toli Bazman, you're going to look at the time, Laila loves man tzitzis, Velo Bakisus, and it doesn't matter what you are wearing. Velo Rosh, according to Rabbeinu Osher, and he's the second of the two, Tolui Bakisus, you have to look primarily at what you are wearing. In other words, what kind of beged, what kind of article of clothing it is. Is it a daytime article of clothing or a nighttime article of clothing? Velo Bazman. And you don't worry about time per se. Kilomar, or to say this in other words, getting down to specifics, Dila Rambam, according to the Rambam, Afilu Kisus Hamiyuchad Layom, even if you have a daytime Kisus, beged, article of clothing, that's Miyuchad Layom, and everyone knows that it's worn normally and naturally at the daytime, according to the Rambam, is Ptura Balayla. If you wear that at night, you don't have to go, it is not. You are potter from tzitzis if you wear that at night. Uksus hameyuchad lalayla. And furthermore, a specifically designated article of clothing, hameyuchad lalayla, which is designated for night, and you wear it during the day, is chayeves bayom. If you wear it during the day, you have to have tzitzis on it. That is the Rambam's way of looking at it. The Rosh habi lahefech. Practically speaking, the Rosh is just the opposite. The Ksus HaMiyuchad LeYom, according to the Rosh, if you have a specifically designated beged, that is Yom, that is worn during the day, according to the Rosh, is Chayeves Afilu Balayla. Doesn't matter that it's Laila. If it is worn, because it is Miyuchad LeYom, you have to wear tzitzis in it, or have tzitzis in it, in order to wear it at night. But something that is specifically designated for being worn at night is Petura Afilu Bayom. You are exempt from having tzitzis in it, even if you wear that night article of clothing during the day. If that's the case, we have to reopen the investigation and say, hey, what is this mitzvah? Is this mitzvah bound in time? Is it a mitzvah, say, shazman grama, that's bound in time? How do we understand it? The cave on the halayla goremes diksus hamiyuchut am hamiyuchadla patura. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that since we can understand that it is still a mitzvah, say, shazman grama, since layla goremes, it's night that causes that this ksus hamiyuchad lo ptura, that this article of clothing, which is specifically designated for the time called night, and therefore is Keturah, no longer needs tzitzis, is Shaper Havi. Now you can understand that it is still within the realm of mitzvah saseh shazman grama, that it is a time-bound mitzvah, v'noshim peturos, and therefore noshim are peturos. And this is what the Rosh says, and we will probably have opportunity to take a look at the original thing at the beginning of what is his monograph called Hilchos Tzitzis in the back of Maseches Menachos.
I'm confused about something. If the Rosh is saying it's Talui Ksus, then how is it Talui Zman according to the Rosh? It's not. That's what the Rambam says.
Okay. Now, so that is the last line of the Aruch HaShulchan. And that's what he's trying to say. The Kavan, the last two lines of this column, you have to understand it clearly, that the Rosh does not disagree and say that it is not a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, but he approaches it in the following way. Kavan da laila goremes, since it's nighttime and time of night that causes the ksus hamyuchad lo petura, that is what causes the category of the ksus of the beged terminating its need for tzitzis, then shapir hava, you can consider it shapir good within the framework of mitzvah saseh shazman grama, and therefore, you know, men have to do it and women don't. Noshim peturos. This is the point. Okay? And furthermore, ksus hamiyuchad liyom v'lelaylo, what if you have a beged that is both for day and night? Tanya b'sifrei, the parashas tzitzis, we learn in the Medrash Halacha, called the Sifrei, which is on Bamidbar and Devarim, in parashas tzitzis, which is the end of Shlach, that a beged that is for both day and night is chayeves b'tzitzis. Even though it is used partly at night, but since it is designated also for the daytime, then you must go ahead and use tzitzis in it, and have tzitzis in it. The chen meforosh bi Yerushalmi perek kama de kedushin, and this is what we learn in Yerushalmi, in perek kama de kedushin, in the first perek of kedushin halacha zayin, which hopefully we will have an opportunity to take a look and understand. Now, before we go on to halacha beis or sif beis, let's refresh our memory in a chumash. Yeah, right. Let's take a look at the description first of tzitzis in Parshas Tzitzis at the end of Shlach, and be sensitive to certain words that are used. Daber b'nei Yisrael, speak to b'nei Yisrael, v'yamata alehem, saying to them, v'yosu lahem tzitzis, they have to make for them tzitzis al kanfei bigdehem ledorasom, on the corners of their clothing, forever. And within this corner of tzitzis, there should be one strand of techeles. And the purpose that you will need these tzitzis is for what? Ur'isem also, to be able to see. And seeing, you cannot see in the dark. You have to see during the daytime. So that from Parshas Tzitzis over here in Parshas Shlach, there should be no question or hesitation in your mind that the association of tzitzis and daytime, or as we started to learn, that Laila loves man tzitzis, is totally clear. It comes from the Chumash. Mm-hmm. All right? Do we have that? If that's the case, we can now turn to Devarim Kiseitze. When you look at Devarim Kiseitze, in Pasuk Yud Beis, Gedilin Ta'aselecha, Allah, fringes you will make for yourself, al arba kanfos kisusecha, on the four corners of your kisus, of your beged, of what you're going to cover yourself, asher techasebo, which you will go ahead and cover yourself with. There is no word here that will let you on to the time-bound factor of tzitzis. It is clear that what you have to do is look at this as a beged item, and you have to judge the beged, and through the beged, through the kisus, through that covering, that's what you will decide whether tzitzis are appropriate at any time or at any given time, or tzitzis are not appropriate. But the davar hamachria, the thing, the center of your attention, has got to be the beged itself. So the Rambam takes his cues from the time, or Isham also, and takes his cues from the ksus, from the beged, more than anything else. And we'll soon see, as the Aruch HaShulchan will explain, this is not indigenous to the Rambam and the Rosh alone.
When you say davar hamachria, you mean in kitetze, or you mean in shalach til?
Well, no, the davar hamachria in kitetze, that which captivates the center of your attention, in kitetze is beged, ksus,
right.
Okay? And in shalach lecha, the davar hamachria is ureisem also uzachartem es kol mitzvos Hashem va'asisem also.
It looks like there's lots of ways you can learn the two pesukim. You learn pasuk in Shlach saying that tzitzis is to be worn during the day, and then the pasuk in Kitetze comes to tell you that when a beged is no longer wearable, you don't need tzitzis in it anymore.
It could be. However, both the Gemara in Menachos and the Gemara in Kiddushin Yerushalmi in Kiddushin discuss these two pesukim. So we don't have to really contrive anything, but rather we have to discover how they reacted. Now, you could ask me, but in Parsha Shlach, in addition to Uri Isem also Zachartem, you have the word Beged. You have in the second pasuk of Parsha Shitzis, you have Osulahem Shitzis Al Kanfei Bigdehem Nedaroso. You have it there. The concept of Beged is there, but that's no question. It's not a worthy question, because obviously you're not going to put Shitzis on your neck. You have to determine where tzitzis are going to be. And this is where it's determined. But when you repeat it again and totally leave out this time-bound factor, we've got to understand something.
But what the prod is. Which case is the prod?
Yeah, but I can't...
You can look, the prod in Shlach says this prod about time.
Yeah.
Or you can say the prod in Shlach, and Kitete says there's a problem about that it has to be a beggar you're still wearing.
Wouldn't a Rav say you have to take the two together?
Okay.
I mean, wouldn't someone learning a Rav, I'm just... A consistent Mefarish like a Rashi, he learns one pasuk, the second pasuk, he's going to have to say, but don't forget we already read in Shlach, and therefore we have to take them together. So what's the contradiction?
There's no contradiction. The Rosh and the Rambam go at it the way they do, each choosing, Chazal before them. And you will soon be sensitive to the fact that we have already learned in the Shulchan Aruch that there is a Ramah that considers both of these and tells you to do something under very unusual circumstances. So wait a couple of minutes, we'll get to it. We did it last week, though.
Yeah.
You see. From Baruch Hashem, you are sensitive to this now. Obviously, when we have these two things, we're going to try to bridge the two as best possible.
No, but it seems to me we have to go to the Rambam and the Rosh to see why each one honed in on one aspect and sort of neglected the other side of the coin.
All right, neglect is a word that neglect.
Disregarded.
Well, all right.
Waited
again, I want. Fine.
I mean, how can we understand this argument unless we go to the Rosh and the Rambam?
No, that's what we're going to do.
That's it.
Okay. Halacha beis. Lichaora, at first sight, at first glance, mizeh tiyufta rabba la Rambam. It would seem that there is a tremendous problem with the Shita of the Rambam. And the problem, before we state it, is you should know, v'harosh hevira ayah l'shitaso, and the Rosh, the problem stems from exactly what the Rosh is using as his proof for his Shita. Midbechol hashas, in our entire Talmud Bavli, we find... is Omer, we find it said, Lema'et Kisus Laila, that we're excluding Kisus Laila, nighttime clothing, from tzitzis. Hare, and Lema'et Kisus Laila is a direct quote from the Shas. We'll see it in Maseches Melachos. Okay? That Ur-Isem also comes to tell us that we exclude Kisus Laila. We don't consider a nighttime clothing as needing tzitzis or worthy of tzitzis. Aray de b'chassus talui, says the Rosh, don't you understand that the Gemara itself constantly said, Ur-Isem also, lemait Kisus Laila. See the tzitzis? That means that you don't have to have it on a Kisus Laila. Aray de b'chassus talui. It's obvious that it seems as if the Gemara goes ahead and our Gemara, in other words, Talmud Bavli, places the weight on the beged. And once we determine the beged, then built into what kind of a beged it is, then we know what the time factor is. V'nira la'aniyus da'ati, it seems to my humble opinion, says the Aruch HaShulchan, to derech hu Rambam hu hechrech, that the Rambam is forced into this, the fi hashas shelonu, all right. He follows hashas, our Talmud Bavli, the derech haSifrei, and what we learned in the Sifri, who derech haYerushalmi, is the way the Yerushalmi learns shemuchach lahedya, where when you look at the Yerushalmi in Maseches Kiddushin, you will see that it's proven openly, depligei hashas didon, that the Yerushalmi disagrees with the concept of our shas didon, our shas, in other words, Talmud Bavli. If you want to see it, he says, I'll quote the sources for you right now. The Hinebi Menachos, if you open up the Gemara Menachos, Dab Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, it's Rab Shimon who didorish, it is Rab Shimon who goes ahead and expounds upon Uri Isem also. Quote, Uri Isem also, says Rab Shimon, Prachlich Sus Laila, to exclude anything that's a nighttime article. And then continues Va'asher techaseh bo. What about the other pasuk that we learned in Kisetze, right? Where the pasuk's weight is placed on not on time but on what? But on beged. So Rav Shimon learns from that Asher techaseh bo, that you will cover yourself lerabos, to include exus of a suma, of a blind person. A beged of a blind person who cannot see anything should therefore be potter all the time from what? From tzitzis, because you cannot be mekayim Uri Isem also. Rav Shimon says, no. I take the second pasuk, that you've got to make tzitzis on every beged that you will cover yourself. A blind person, although he doesn't see the tzitzis, nonetheless needs tzitzis because it's a beged that covers him. And this is the way Rav Shimon and Ashas would go ahead and explain the two psukim. And since Re'isem also is time-bound factor, therefore, Nashim Peturos. Therefore, it's a mitzvah saseh, Shenashim Peturos. Ve'kayim alon, and we paskin the halacha in our Shas, ke Rav Shimon. Just like Rav Shimon, proof of this is, Kemoshe Kosav HaRif. The Rif wrote this way. V'Tosfos wrote this way, that Rav Shimon is the halacha. V'chol HaRishonim. And if you want to see who the Chol HaRishonim, he says, is Ayin B'Veis Yosef. Open up the tour, and the Beis Yosef lists all the Rishonim. Okay? Mm-hmm. Further, Uparech L'Rabbona, Rabbona disagreeing. We'll have to see. It's a Machlokas Rav Shimon Rabbona. And the question is asked, according to Rabbona, Hai Asher Techasebo May Avdele, what do they do with this pasuk, Gedilim Tasebach, the one in Kisetze? How do they interpret it? What do they do? Perush Rashi, according to Rashi, Rabbonan holds that Lema'it Susuma, to go ahead and exclude a blind person, that you don't need. Asher Techasebo, you don't need it if you're a blind person. Is lo itzrich, the hashtag sus lailo, is mechayve. If we go ahead and now see that sus lailo is required to have it, is kol shekein susuma, the yeshna b'ri'ya. But the ri'ya is etzel acherim. Now get this carefully. If we're going to go ahead and require a blind person to have tzitzis, does he see it? Does he see the tzitzis? No. Others see the tzitzis. Mm-hmm. Correct? So can't we assume that if a blind person needs tzitzis because others see it, therefore a ksus laila doesn't need tzitzis because no one can see it, whether it's you or someone else? Logic clear?
Mm-hmm. No.
Why?
Not a ksus laila. Ksus worn at night doesn't need it.
Good.
That's not necessarily ksus only for laila.
Okay, so wait till we get to the Gemara and clarify. Ad tan l'shono. End quote. Of the Gemara. From the Tarets, and we learn that the Tarets is the itzrich l'rabos ba'alas chamesh kenafos shechayavis betzitzis. And then, in answer to the problem, which will be further clarified when we take a look at the Gemaras, Rabbanon, who disagree with Rab Shimon, need the Pasuk in Kiseitze to tell us that if you had a five-cornered beged, Shechayevis Tzitzis, that it still would need tzitzis on four of its corners. Hold on. V'Rab Shimon marbelo me'asher. And Rab Shimon uses another word in that pasuk, ayein shom, investigate it that way. Investigate in the original. And we will take a look at all the originals and then we'll see what's what. Before we leave the Aruch HaShulchan and go into the other story, the rest of the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't deal with very much concerning time. But there is one small halacha, halacha Zion, that should be done, even though it doesn't directly impact on this problem that we have. Let's just do the Zion so that we can be finished with the Aruch HaShulchan and then go into the sources that the Aruch HaShulchan brings and try to make order out of them. Halacha Zion, Lefizeh, according to what I've said up until now, Ledina, according to the din, Aleinu lachush l'shtei hashitos. We have to be concerned with both the Rambam and the Rosh. Did you ever hear that before, Jerry? Because the way the Rambam learns and the way the Rosh learns, it's probably 50-50. K'mo she'amar Rabbeinu HaRamo, the Si'if Aleph, if you'll reopen the Shulchan Aruch that we learned last week, you will see the Ramo does accommodate for both shitas. V'zeleshono, and this is where he does it. Safek brachos l'hakel. We know another rule that whenever we have a safek, whether we should say a bracha or not, we are mekel, we are not stringent, and we cancel the bracha. Al kein, therefore, says the Ramo, ein levarech alav elo kishalov shabayom. You don't make a bracha on a beged that has tzitzis, unless you wear it in the day, v'hu miyuchad layom, and it is specifically designated as a daytime beged, v'achar tfilas arvis, and therefore, if you have daven ma'ariv already, afa pisha adayin yom, even though you may have daven ma'ariv like, you know, Rabbi Yehuda, right after plag ha-mincha, okay? Afa pisha adayin yom, who is ein levorech olov, you are not to make a bracha on it, because it's liable to be Susyon that is worn in the Lila, and we have the Machlokas of the Rambam and the Rosh. Huh? Okay. And as we said last week in the Mishnah Berurah, Uvalel Yom Kippurim, an Erev Yom Kippur, the night of Yom Kippur, Kol Nidre, is Yisateif Ba'od Yom, wear your talis when it's still day, the Yavarech Alav Ad Kan Lashono, end of quote of the Rambam. Okay?
What's fun?
Oh, we're coming to it. I'll give it to you. I'll give you the extension. I'll give you the exact thing. Can I? No. I'll give you the chart. Because that's the issue. That's truly the issue, nothing else. Go on in the Aruch HaShulchan. A very, gets a little delicious. Now, why do you have to wear a talis on Yom Kippur, as we learned last week? Mishum de Yom Kippur onu domim l'malachim. Yom Kippur, we stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu like angels. V'gam, and if you don't understand that issue, v'gam, there's another reason. Ein lomar yud gimel midos. You don't say Hashem Hashem kel rachum b'chanun below atifa unless you have a talus. Now, where does one come to the other? Because mishum de berosh hashana, we learn in Maseches Rosh Hashana, Isa, it's found shekaviyochol that God Himself nisateif hakadosh baruch hu kishliach tzibur. This is the Gemara there. Mm-hmm. The Kodesh Baruch Hu in that Agoda took a talus and wrapped himself like a shliach tzibur. B'sha'asha amar leMoshe hayud gimu midos. At the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe, Hashem, Hashem, keu rachum b'fanim. So it was God talking. Hayein shom. U'mizel amadnu. And from this Gemara we learn that the b'chol shatz, every shliach tzibur, her over lifnei ha'teva, who goes ahead and stands before the omud, to daven is sarich nisatei patzitzis. Has to go ahead and wear tzitzis. And it's this line that I wanted to bring to your attention. Do you now understand why you go ahead and as a chazan you wear a talus all the time?
Myra, too.
Hey, did he say anything about Shachris Mincha Myra?
No,
he didn't say anything. But look what he did say. Mizel amadnu. We can extrapolate from this Gemara of Hashem Hashem, of Yud Gimel Midos, the whole shatz ha'over lifnei ha'teva sarich nisatev besisis. The Yeshe Koslu, and not only a shatz, there are some who said the gam ha'omer kadish yosom yisatev mipnei kevod tzibur. That the kadish yosom, which is part of the davening, even though it's not said by the shliach tzibur, when it's your turn to say kadish yosom, that you should put on a talus. Does he say anything about shachris mincha meir?
No.
But he says kol shatz. That means anything and everything. That's where we get it from. And the reason for it is mitnei kvod hatzibur. But he continues, v'lo nahagukein. The minog isn't that way, meaning that the one who says kadosh yosom has to put on a talus. All right? V'hechacham hadoresh, a Talmud Chacham who gets up to say a drasha, v'adai tzarich nisateif mitnei kvod hatzibur. Should put on a talus. Vadai, the chein ha-minhag, and that's the minhag. So let me ask you something. If a rabbi gets up to say a Devar Torah, should put on a talus. Okay? Should put on a talus. Isn't it all the more, according to Hishita, that kol shatz means shakris, mincha, musaf, mair, it doesn't matter. Okay?
I want you to know, just an aside, when Stavin added us last week, I went to put on a talus for Mara, and they said, we're not Yeki.
Uh-huh. Okay. You see. No question about it. But Aruch HaShulchan wasn't a Yeki either. He was a Litvak, but he wasn't the Yeki. Okay? V'gam, and here you will understand also, that a Sandok, Umohalim, is Re'uyim, it is proper for them, Lihisateit, Batzitzis, at a bris, Mitnei Kvod Malach HaBris, because of the proceedings over there at a bris.
Those are always.
There's some who don't. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan is fair. He says, Ayein Magen Avram. Look in the original Shulchan Aruch, the famous parish of the Magen Avram, Si'if Katan Aleph, in his subscript Aleph, Shekosad B'Shem HaBach, who writes in the name of the Bayis Kodosh, which is a parish on the tour, the Miyad La'achar Baruch Hu is Yasir HaTalis Me'alov. That immediately after Baruch Hu admired, you should take off your talis. Right? You have to see there the original to see what he's saying. Ulefi Ma'asher Amanu, but according to what we just said, Ein Tzorich. You don't have to do it. Delo Nitna Torah Le'malachei Hashoreis. You know, you can't do the impossible. Nitla Torah, etc., and so forth. All right? Ach b'sha'arei tshuva. Torah l'malachai hasheretz. It's a human impossibility. Oh. Now that you say, before
right.
Baruch Hu,
yeah.
You know, you got to take it off before Baruch Hu, and then after, right after Baruch Hu, and then you'll be able to daven Ma'ariv to come on. Okay, it's impossible. Ach b'sha'arei tshuva, in the parish sha'arei tshuva, on the Shulchan Aruch, hevin she'ha'ari, it brings that the Ari Zal, Hayam Nizhar, was extraordinarily careful. That as opposed to what we have seen in Halacha, says the Aruch HaShulchan, I must tell you clearly, if there is a minhag of people not wearing a talus at Mincha and not wearing a talus at Ma'ariv, It is because of the thrust that we learn from the Ari, who was extraordinarily careful to make sure that there is no talus, that you don't wear talus or tefillin after Shkia. Now, do we daven mincha close to Shkia? Do we sometimes go a little over Shkia? Do we daven ma'ariv after Shkia?
Ma'ariv's
after mincha already, right? Yeah. So if it's both, here is, you understand now the machlokas between those who do wear and those who don't wear.
Theoretically, if you daven at 1 o'clock or 1:30 in the afternoon,
then, according to the Ari, you would wear a talus. But, remember, that's when it's the three of us who understand, and we sat down and we learned, and we know it's coming off. Can you tell me how to legislate these things with people who don't have the sensitivity?
No, but...
How about a piece of...
The Lubavitch Yeshiva,
yeah?
Which davens mincha, 3:15, mm-hmm. Well before Shkia, they don't want to talk.
Okay. Mishum lo flug, because that's the way it is. But those who do wear a talus, you see where it comes from. Right? It's not necessarily a yaki minna. It is clearly, the talus is the kavod hatzibur, the aspect of the kavod hatzibur.
The Ari would say, if you daven at mincha at 1:30, you wear a talus.
Yes.
It's just if you daven at Shki, you wouldn't wear it.
Right. Yeah.
So Friday's like, you probably would wear it, because it's the only...
Ooh, there's no question about it. When you look at the description of the Ari's Kabbalah Shabbos, the Ari and also the Rambam, the Rambam's description of Kabbalah Shabbos. First of all, you start Shabbos and anticipating Shabbos at Chatzos, 12:00. And you've already showered and shaved or taken a haircut, and you are dressed for Shabbos. In the words of the Rambam, you're sitting umisatev, and you go ahead and put on a talis, umisatev, you're dressed, awaiting the malka to arrive, awaiting the malach to arrive. You see, so it's entirely clear to me that the mekubalei tzfas of the 16th century, when they used to go out l'chod dodi, they used to go out into the fields. This was at high noon, you know. This wasn't 14 minutes after Shkia or wherever. This was mamish high noon. They probably had a talus on. No question about it.
Well, they sang l'chod dodi that early in the day.
Yeah, what's the problem?
So then they took on Shabbos, so to speak?
They didn't have to take on Melacha until later. But already Shabbos, well,
they
after Chatzot, they would wait until, you know. Or they would start Shabbos early and take on Shabbos early. I don't say that.
Yeah.
We don't know. At least I don't know exactly. But one thing is for sure, the Lechun Aranino, which was instituted, to be said then, and the Lechot Dodi, which was composed in the 16th century by one of these Mekubalim, the Rav Shlomo Alkavetz, this was at high noon, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. They were already Shabbosnik. That's it. Let's see if we can now go and take a look at the sources. Huh?
I'm like us poor slobs to work for a little.
Ah, look, it's not a matter of poor slobs or not. It was a value judgment. And you know my blind bias for my love of Eretz Yisrael. The year we lived in Eretz Yisrael, we live in Yerushalayim. I don't care what shegets of a Jew you had. I don't care what, they call him a pushtak, a lowlife. You knew at 1 o'clock in the afternoon Friday, you knew on the buses that Shabbos is coming. People were carrying flowers. People were rushing home. They were rushing home to be Mechal Shabbos. I cannot address that. I can't address that. But one thing is for sure. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom.
Even the Friday Israelis do that.
Don't forget, they work Sunday. They probably work Sunday in spot if they were working.
So what?
So you say, you know, we have to work, and but we have.
That's very common among Israelis, religious or not.
That's it. You smell Shabbos.
In effect, the Jews had the weekend first because we had a two-day weekend. We had Friday and Saturday.
No question. At least one and a half days.
Yeah.
Without question. Without question. And again, I tell you, I admit wholeheartedly, it is a blind bias I don't want to know from. That is, to me, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, admittedly diluted and distilled of all of its Kedusha, but to me it says something. It says something because it said something to Rav Kook also. That's where I get it. I have adequate proof. There are people observing Shabbos who are calling it, in the Chabura movement, this new non-aligned kind of a movement, especially to grow out of intellectual circles and college campuses, social workers and so on. They are celebrating a non-halachic Shabbos. What can you do to celebrate Shabbos non-halachically? So it used to be 30, 40 years ago that when Jews were coming to shul, you would smoke and you would go dancing in the streets and show them, here, Rabid, I'm going to turn on the car, eat your kishkes out. That's not what it is today. There are people, I just spoke to one Monday, who are going to celebrate Shabbos 2 hours after Shkia, but they are hell-bent on making sure that time is not going to bind them to be able to get the essence of Shabbos and Hadlokas and Eres. That they are going to light up their home with Shabbos, with everything else but this halachic restriction. And the person spoke to me about it, this person who I'm speaking about, she happens to be a social worker, she says, I have guests, it is untenable to think that I'm not going to celebrate Shabbat. I cannot do it at 4:30, but I will do it at 7 o'clock. And there will be a Devar Torah, and there will be Zmirot, and we're going to light up Shabbos the way it's got to be. Now, sure it's warped. Sure, it's a mitzvah haba b'aveira.
It's inconsistent.
Yeah, right. It's inconsistent to a mind that is consistently halachic. But to a soul who yearns for Shabbos as much as you and I, can you say don't do it? Or even if you say don't do it, can we get away with saying that this is not a Shabbos, better you shouldn't do it? Well, you could. But I can't. I can't. I'm hamstrung.
Among those,
my hands are tied.
I don't know if I could put it into words. There's a blindness to the authority and strictness of halacha. I can't get it at it any closer.
Oh, yeah. You say it well. They don't want to have their hands bound. Their entire week is
bound. And yet they want the ruach that comes with the observance.
Correct.
With the observance of the halacha. Which they sort of can get, but
They'll get it. Am I condoning it? No. In no way can I condone it. But when you look at this person, to call such a person the Mechal of Shabbos, I am stopping work, I'm not going to the movies, I am not going shopping, my children and I are going to sit at the table with guests, and each one of us...
It's not Mechal of Shabbos. It's a new category that we don't have. It's not even what you once said, Tinok.
Shenishba
Lagoyim. It's not even that. It's a type of blindness. It's a sort of a summa. I don't know how else.
Okay, the Rashba. The Rashba gives me insight to this.
Yeah.
The Rashba writes, if there is a hierarchy and a priority in observance of mitzvahs, especially with people or young ones, where do you start? What do you emphasize? He says, without question, you emphasize the asay, the active. Okay?
Yeah.
And from the asay, then you will be able to build up a discipline of los asay and restrictions.
Uh-huh.
You see?
Okay.
That's where you stop. So when you tell a child who is first coming into this experiential realm
right.
of Shmiras HaMitzvos and lifestyle and values, don't do this and don't do that and don't. That's all I have is don'ts. Tell me what to do.
Right.
And this is the issue over here. If this woman will not be a Shomeres Shabbos, one thing I know for sure, she will first of all ask me if I would be offended if I would be invited to her table, because this is the way they celebrate Shabbat.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a mensch. And the second thing is that there's probably a chance that not all, but some of her children will be able to understand the discipline. No question about it. I know Rosh Hashanah. She doesn't daven in a conservative temple or a reform temple. She chose a Lubavitcher minyan, a Lubavitcher campus minyan, with a mechitza. Okay? Probably. Not sure. Let's see some Gemaras. Gemara, Menachos Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, towards the bottom of the page. Tana Rabbanon, we learned in a Braisa, HaKolich HaYovim B'Tzitzis, everyone is required to have tzitzis in their clothes, whether you're a Kohen, a Levi, or a Yisrael, whether you're a Ger, Noshim, Va'avodim. That is Tana Kamo, a Rabbanon. Whereupon Rabbi Shimon says, Pote B'Noshim, women are exempt, mitnei shemitzas asei shazman gromohu. The whole mitzvah sashay says man gromo is nashim peturas. Okay? Omar Mar, let's investigate the statement again by re-quoting it. Hakol chayovim betzitzis, you said, kohanim levim v'yisraelim. It's pshita, isn't it obvious? The e kohanim levim v'yisraelim petire man lichayev. If Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael would be potter, who are you going to require to put tzitzis in?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have to spell it out, Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael? Answers the Gemara, Kohanim itzrichilei. You must say Kohanim. Salka da'atach amino, because I may think incorrectly, ho'il, that since it says, right in the pasuk before that we learned in Kisetze, you're not allowed to wear shatnez, which is, by definition, tzemer, wool, upishim, and flax, yachdov, put together, and right after the next pasuk is gedilim ta'as elecho, it speaks about tzitzis. This smichos aparshios, this context of the two psukim together, could lead you to think, zman delo ishtere kilayim legabe bilevisho, that the one who is not permitted to wear kilayim, to wear shatnez in clothing, hu demechayev betzitzis, and that is the only one who has to wear tzitzis, hani kohanim, this comes to exclude kohanim, hoil v'ishtari kilayim legabayu, since kohanim have a specific, dispensation, thank you. Since they have a specific religious dispensation, in other words, a posuk that allow they have to wear a certain begadim. A Kohen cannot come into the Beis HaMikdash unless he is clothed in a certain way. And in that clothing of the Kohen, there is a specific posuk that allows him to wear shatnez. It suspends the restriction of shatnez by Kohanim. So let's just read that text again. Hoil, since the ishtere kilayim legabayhu, as in concerning him, the Kohen, kilayim was mutar, is lo lichayivu. Therefore, he is not required to wear tzitzis. Komash malon, comes the brisa to tell us that you have to go ahead and wear tzitzis. In what way? Nehi, the ishtere, be'idon avoda, comes to tell us that since it is mutar for him to wear kelayim during avoda, is below idon avoda lo ishtere. But when he is not wearing his clothing, his specific garb of the Kohen, he is not allowed to wear what do you call it? He's not allowed to wear kilayim. Shatnez is kilayim. Is another term. It's shatnez is the generic term. Excuse me. Kilayim is the generic term for shatnez, which is in clothing.
Right.
Okay. Then you have kilei akerim, etc., and so forth. Furthermore, we investigate the statement further of the Braisa. Quote, Rav Shimon Poter Benashim. Rav Shimon says, Nashim don't have to do it. My Tama de Rav Shimon. Ask the Gemara, what is the reason of Rav Shimon in the Braisa? The Tanya, for we learned elsewhere in another Braisa. Re'isim also, the Chumash says that Tzitzis, in Parsha Tzitzis, Re'isim also, is Pratli Chesus Laila. There's the quote. To exclude any kind of nighttime clothing. Ato mer pratli kisus laila, o eno ela pratli kisus suma. Are we really going to assume that this is correct? That it is kisus laila that doesn't need it? Because of Uri Isim also? Or did Uri Isim also come to teach us that? The Gemara continues. And says, Kishahu Omer, when the Pasuk says, in Kiseitse, quote, Asher Techaseba, end quote, a beggar that you will cover yourself with, there you have Hare Kisus Suma Omur. That's where you have the din that a blind person has got to go ahead and cover yourself, and cover himself with a tzitzis beggar. Therefore, what am I going to learn from Uri Isim also? If I learn that a ksus suma, that a blind person's beged needs tzitzis from the other posukim's kiseitse, what do I have to learn from Uri Isim also? Back, as we said, pratli kasus laila, to exclude that which is a nighttime ksus. The Gemara continues, Maroisa la rabos ksus suma. Why do you go ahead and include a blind person that he should have tzitzis ulahotzi ksus laila and exclude a ksus laila from tzitzis? The answer is ma'be ani ksus suma. I include the beged of a blind person. Why? Sheyeshno bireiya eitzel acherim. Because others can see it. And when others see the tzitzis, they too will be reminded of the purpose of tzitzis, even though the blind person doesn't see it on himself. Umotziani, and I exclude at the same time ksus laila, a nighttime beged, she'eino biri'iyo eitzel acherim, because if you wear a nighttime beged at night, it doesn't matter who it is, no one is going to see it. This is Rav Shimon. The Rabbonon, in other words, the rest who are cholek with Rav Shimon, what do they do? Hi, this, quote, asher t'chaseh bo, end quote, my avdele. What do they do with it? In other words, Rav Shimon uses asher t'chaseh bo to tell us that a blind person has to have tzitzis. How does the Rabbanan understand that? Mibaya leho v'chedetanya. This second posit, asher t'chaseh bo, is where they extract the din for yet another brisa, as we learned. Al arba kanfos kesusecha, the pasuk says, on the four corners of your beged, asher techaseh bo. Arba, four corners, velo shalosh. Not three corner beged. Atomer arba velo shalosh. Do you really mean four corners and not three? O eino ela arba velo chamesh. Or could it really mean four corners but not five? What do we specifically say? Kishehu omer asher techaseh bo. When it says, again, go back to the pasuk. It says, al arba kanfos kisusko, on the four corners of your beged, asher techaseh bo, which you will cover yourself with. So, kishehu omer, when they add the words asher techaseh bo, comes to tell you, harei ba'alas chomesh omur. comes to include that it's four corners that you have to have. But if you have five corners on it, it's still considered a chasus, asher techasebo, which you cover yourself with, and it still needs tzitzis.
In Hebrew, how would you say the four corners would be?
Arbat haknafot.
Okay.
Okay?
So the phrase in
Kisheche?
Shlach.
Yeah.
Is indefinite. It says the phrase in Shlach can be interpreted to mean if you've got at least four corners, you've got to have at least four corners.
Not from Shlach. Oh, alabak, yeah, okay. Okay.
You've got to have at least four corners.
That would exclude three.
That would exclude three.
Right.
That's why they can't exclude three, but not exclude
That's
five.
Correct. And why five is not excluded? Because when you go over there, asher techasebo, any beggar that you will cover yourself, meaning that if it's at least four and maybe even more, and you still cover yourself, that it's still higher than arba kampos.
And if it says arba hakanfot, we would make exactly only four.
Probably four, and that's it. Not three, not five, and finish. Okay. Umani mekayem al arba kanfot kisuskot.